إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبعد Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for coming late. I couldn't find my way around here. That's basically, it's not an excuse, but I hope everyone can forgive me. And inshallah, I do apologize for that. Now, as we know, that every group or every certain people, every qawm, you could say, every group of people, they have a certain person or they have certain people that they always look up to. They always have their certain people who they consider to be their role models or their ideals. Someone who they can look up to, someone who they can appreciate, someone who they can say that he is my hero. First, let's ask ourselves, what exactly is a hero? A hero is defined, and I quote, as a person, typically a man, admired for his or her noble qualities and outstanding achievements. Okay? Hero is defined as a person, typically a man, admired for his or her noble qualities and outstanding achievements. Now, right off the bat, what is it that we learn? We learn that a person, for someone to be categorized as a hero, someone to fall under the category of a hero, someone who that we can say is a hero, they have to have either outstanding qualities or outstanding achievements, or they have to have noble qualities, or they could have both. Now, let's take a glimpse into what the historians have written and recorded as to be history, and let's see who were considered heroes in history by society in general. You look at the Romans. You look at the Romans, and what is it that we learn? We learn that they considered their hero to be who? Alexander the Great. They considered Alexander the Great to be their hero. Why? Because he was a man who had an outstanding achievement, which was that he conquered a very large portion of the world. That was his achievement, that was his thing that he did that made him stand out to be a hero. We look at the sons of Israel, Banu Israel, how the Quran mentions it, the people of Israel, Banu Israel, and who were treated as completely peasants, who were treated as someone completely low, and they were persecuted by the pharaohs of the time, because they used to be in Egypt at the time. So they were persecuted by the pharaohs and they were completely humiliated. Who is it, the one that came and saved them? It was Musa alayhi salam. It was Moses or Musa alayhi salam. He was considered to be their hero. You look at the Mongols and what is it that we see? One man was slaughtered, a messenger of the Mongols was slaughtered, and then a reign of terror, a conquest of complete bloodshed and brutality was led out by who? Genghis Khan. Who was considered to be their role model? Who was considered to be their hero? Because he avenged their one messenger. He avenged their one messenger, so we know what he did. We know that he ravaged through Asia. Completely ravaged through Asia, reached as far as Europe. But all for what? Avenging one messenger that was killed, because of one of their messengers that was killed. So the Mongols considered him to be their hero. We look at the Chinese and we learn in the Han Dynasty that to save themselves from legalism, to save themselves from legalism, the Chinese, they looked up to a man known as Confucius. They took his philosophical teachings because that was his achievement and that saved them from legalism, and he was considered to be their hero. Now let's look at Islamic history. Now one thing that we need to understand, one thing that we need to remember is that just like in all these cases, Muslims have a very vibrant and rich history. Us Muslims have a very vibrant and rich history full of heroes, full of those who can be considered as great people, who can be considered as people that we can look up to. The whole Islamic history is filled with this, obviously after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Starting off with the time of the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one thing that we must realize that all the Sahaba, every single Sahabi that ever existed, has the ability and he has the right to be followed. He has the right to be followed and he has the ability to be followed. He is a hero by himself. But inshallah, we won't have time to go through all the Sahaba. We'll be sitting here for months. So going off just a few of the Sahaba. We look at the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was none other than Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put it, afdalul bashari ba'd al anbiya'i bit tahqiq, the best man to come on this earth after the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, after the prophets, according to research. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that he is definitely the best man to come after the prophets. After the prophets. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, when we look at the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, it's amazing. It's completely amazing. He was a man of power, a man of wealth, a man who had respect. He had everything. In our time, what is it that we look for? We look for power, if not power, money, respect, wealth, good family, children. For us, it's like if a person, if we see someone like that, he's driving a nice car, he has a nice house, he has a stable job, alhamdulillah, he's successful, he's good to go. Just for us to understand, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was just that man. He had everything that a person could want, but he gave up every single thing. Why? For the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah, he gave up everything in the path of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him with this, because of this. Because of all that he did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him so much so that people used to confuse him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way. When they entered Madinah al-Munawwara, they thought that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They thought Abu Bakr is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this to him after he did what he did. We look at the hadith of Bukhari, where Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out during his illness, which he passed away from, with his head bound with a cloth. He sat on the minbar, he sat on the pulpit, he thanked Allah, praised him, and said, There is no one among the people who has been more generous to me with his wealth, with his life, with everything than Abu Bakr. What greater virtue can a person really ask for? He said, if I was to take a friend in this world, it would have been Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. It would have been Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Look at the other hadith of Bukhari, where Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent, he said, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an says that the Prophet of Allah sent me during the battle of Dhat al-Salasil to, he sent me during the battle of Dhat al-Salasil. When I returned to him, I asked him that, Ya Rasulullah, who is the most beloved to you? He said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, you sent me to the go fight in your place, or you sent me ahead in battle. I feel like I'm the most beloved to you. Ya Rasulullah, who is the most beloved to you? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, he smiled, he said, Aisha. Aisha is the most beloved to me. His beloved wife, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, she is the most beloved to me. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I'm asking about men. Who is the most beloved to you amongst the men? He said, her father Abu Bakr. He's the most beloved to me. Another hadith from Sahih Bukhari. Once there was a problem between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. And what happened was there was such sort of an altercation between them. And they sort of argued. They sort of just got into a quarrel, where Umar radiallahu anhu raised his voice in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was very soft-hearted. He's very soft-hearted, he couldn't take it. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Umar radiallahu anhu did this, you be the judge. I did this, he said this, I said this, this is the situation that happened, you be the judge, what happened? Umar radiallahu anhu said that I saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turn, completely turn. He looked at Umar, he said, when you rejected me, he accepted me. When you threw me out, he took me in. When you came out to kill me, he came out to help me, hold me. Leave my Abu Bakr alone. He said, leave my Abu Bakr alone. You don't know what he's done for me. You don't know what he's done for the sake of Allah. Leave him alone. Umar radiallahu anhu said, since that day till the day that he passed away, he never disrespected Abu Bakr. He never even raised his voice when saying the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. What great virtue Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had. Look at the other hadith where of Bukhari, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the quickest of Sahaba to jump to do good. If there's any good to do, he's the first to be there. There was after the battle of Khaybar, that the Sahaba, they had gotten quite a large amount of loot from from the spoils of war after Khaybar. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that, you know, today is going to be the day that I am going to beat Abu Bakr. I'm going to beat Abu Bakr in virtue today. I'm going to beat him in doing good deeds today. He took all his wealth, split it right in half, and he took it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He takes it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, lillah, this is all for me. This is all lillah, fi sabilillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got happy. It's for sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, MashaAllah, Umar, you're doing great. But what have you left back for your family? What have you left back for your family? Umar radiallahu anhu looked at Rasulullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I left half of my wealth for my family, and I brought half to you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes with the one weak little goat. Oh, Umar radiallahu anhu says, my goats could eat that goat. It's a small little weak goat. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brings it. Umar radiallahu anhu, in his mind, he's like, yes, I got this. I won. I finally beat Abu Bakr in doing good. Not something doing bad, doing good. So he says, Ya Abu Bakr comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah, here you go. Here's some sadaqah I have. Abu Bakr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Bakr and said, Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family? He says, Ya Rasulullah, this is all I have. I left Allah and Rasul for my family. Ya Rasulullah, I have nothing else. This is all I have. This is lillah. I have left Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for my family. That is enough. That is enough for me. I don't need anything else. These are the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. We look at the only man the only man that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the gathering, who was the person that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put up to do imamat, put up to do lead salah? Only one person in the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Now we turn to the likes of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. SubhanAllah, when you look at the iman of Umar radiallahu an, it's amazing. It's, mashallah, it's amazing. Sometimes, wallahi, I was about a year and a half ago, I was standing at the grave of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. I was looking in. I was, alhamdulillah, I had the blessing where the net was slightly open, so I got to look inside. I was looking inside and I was looking at the grave of Umar radiallahu anhu. I asked the guard, is that the grave of Umar? He said, yes, that's the grave of Umar. And he pointed out the grave of Abu Bakr, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was covered, so he couldn't see it. I looked at the grave of Umar radiallahu anhu and I said, wallahi, oh Umar, we need you today. How are you there? Why aren't you here? When we need Umar radiallahu anhu. Before we even get to looking at the virtues of Umar radiallahu anhu, we need to ask ourselves, where is the Umar of today? Where is the Abu Bakr of today? Why is it that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he might have passed away, his body might have passed away. His body has passed away. But why is it that his legacy does not live within us? Why is it that none of us are willing to do what Abu Bakr did? Why is it that when we hear the virtues of Umar radiallahu anhu, why is it that we don't rush to do good? Just like Umar ibn Khattab did. We look at the likes of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an. He's an amazing Sahabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wallahi, if there was a Nabi, if there was a Prophet after me, it would have been Umar. If there was a Prophet to come after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab, but there is no Prophet to come after me. This is Sahih Hadith. We look at another Hadith where Ibn Abbas radiallahu an relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he looked over to the people. He looked at the Sahaba and he said that, do you know who is my arm? Do you know who is my arm? Who is my strength? They all said, Abu Bakr. They said, no, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, Abu Bakr is my heart. Who is my strength? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar is my strength. Umar radiallahu anhu's iman was such, when he was standing at the minbar. He was standing at the minbar of Masjid Nabawi. He was giving khutbah. And he had two pieces of cloth on him. That's all he had. This is his whole total wealth was two pieces of cloth. One Sahabi gets up and he says, oh Umar, I have something against me in my heart. We, from the spoils of war, all of us got one cloth. Why did you get two? Why are you wearing two? You are not better than us. Why are you doing this? Why are you wearing two? Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, wallahi, I only had one piece of cloth. Wallahi, I only had one piece of cloth, and that even that was ripped. So my son gave me his other. This is the reason why I'm standing here. No anger. Nothing. Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was crossing through the streets of Madinah al-Munawwarah, patrolling. He was patrolling through the streets of Madinah al-Munawwarah, and he says that, there was a man, and he was standing right in the middle of the street. So I took out my whip and I nudged him. So a little poke. Nudged him. And so he would move. When he moved, you know, I moved on. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that exactly one year after, I met the same man. And he met the same man and he gave all his wealth. He said, here you go. This is everything I have. I have left nothing, absolutely nothing for my family besides Allah. This is all my wealth. Here you go. He said, why? He said, why are you giving me this? He said, last year I nudged you and I caused you pain. Small little nudge. I caused you pain and I felt like I was someone. So here you go. This is the iman of Umar. This is the iman that he carried. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an asked Umar radiallahu an that I need reinforcements. Send me reinforcements. Umar radiallahu an asked him, how many reinforcements do you need? He said, I need 5,000 people. That's all I need. He's going to face an army of hundreds of thousands. Khalid bin Walid was something else. He said, I need 5,000 people and I'm good to go. Umar ibn Al-An sends five people. Five people. They said, why are you sending only five people? He says, because their iman is such that their iman is worth the iman of 1,000 people. That's their iman. Their iman is worth 1,000 people's iman. That's why I'm sending you five people. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu won that battle. This is the battle of Yarmouk, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where the Muslim army was only a few thousand. Obviously Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu already had some people before. So then the Muslim army was very few thousand. And the opposing army was 124,000 armed people. They won. This is the iman. This is the iman that won those battles. We look at the likes of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. And what is it that we see? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah was such a man that his eyesight was, he was born without sight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to this world without any sight. His mother used to cry for him. His mother used to say, Ya Allah, please give my son his sight. Ya Allah, please give my son his sight. One night in her dream, she saw Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he said to her that go in the morning, go and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has restored the sight of your son. In the morning, she ran, took off the shawl off of Imam Bukhari, and she saw that he was a small little child, only 2-3 years old. He had sight. By the age of 10, do we know how many hadiths Imam Bukhari had memorized? 10,000. 10,000 hadiths were memorized in his memory with the chain. Not just qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this. No. The whole chain. Haddathana Sa'id ibn Jubayr all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10,000 by the age of 10. By the age of 17, he was given the title of the grand judge of his area. 17. He's the judge. What is it that brought these people up? What is it that put these people up? It was the iman. We look at the likes of Imam Malik rahimahullah. And how is it that Imam Malik used to be? Imam Malik, his respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that he would not wear shoes in Madinat al-Munawwara. He would not wear shoes in Madinat al-Munawwara. Why? Because for the respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried in this same ground. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked on this same ground. How can I stand and how can I walk with shoes on this? How can I do that? Once water and honey was brought to Imam Malik rahimahullah, and it was said that here you go, drink some. Imam Malik said, how can I drink something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the pleasure of drinking while being in his city? How can I do that? These are people, these are Muslim heroes. Are they not anything less than heroes? We look at the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, who became an advisor of Umar ibn al-Khattab at the age of 17. He was one of the advisors of Umar ibn al-Khattab at the age of only 17. We look at the likes of Rabi'a Basriya, rahimahullah, a female scholar who was known to be such a pious woman. She's known to be such a knowledgeable woman that people used to come from all over the world just to learn hadith under her. She had studied with people, she had studied with direct students of Aisha radiallahu anha. So her levels were somewhere else. Come closer to our time and we see Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahullah. Who was he? He only passed away about 100 years ago. Who was Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri? He was a man of honor. He was a man of such knowledge, such iman. He said, I could not memorize the Quran. Why? Because when I look at the Quran, I get the meaning comes to me. There's so much to understand, I can't memorize it. When he said, when you read Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I don't see Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I see seven volume books in front of me. I understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so I can't memorize it. This is the iman. This is his iman that raised him. You know, in our time, we look at few things and we judge a person according to that. If we're looking at a person because we look up to a person because he's strong. If we want to look at someone who's strong, look at the likes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a wrestler at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Rukana radiallahu ta'ala. He became a sahabi later on. He said he comes to Rasul. He had never lost a battle. He had never lost a match. You know how we have WWE and whatever to nowadays? He had never lost a match like that, even though those are fake nowadays, you know, completely fake. But he didn't stomp the floor when he punched. No. Okay? He had never lost a wrestling match. And he had defeated Umar radiallahu anhu, he had defeated Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. He was very strong. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, he said, oh Muhammad, you say you're a prophet. If you're really a prophet, beat me. If you can beat me, I'll bring iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bismillah, let's go. You know, come. He comes towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one arm. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throws him on the ground, taps him out. He gets up, he's like, whoa, wait. I wasn't ready. I didn't get my stance yet properly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, bismillah. Again, he gets in his stance. He says, let's go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one arm brings him down. This is the strength of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it's beauty that we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says it beautiful. She said that if the women at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, we know the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, that Yusuf alayhi salam was so handsome. You know, he was so handsome that when he would come in front of people, he came in front of the close friends of the queen at that time, and they were cutting fruits. When they looked at him, they dazed so much, they started cutting their fingers, and they wouldn't even realize. Aisha radiallahu anha ta'ala said that she said that if they saw my Muhammad, if they saw my Muhammad, wallahi, they would cut their necks and they wouldn't even know. This is the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I was looking at us, it was a night, we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the full moon was out. The full moon was up. I looked at the moon and I said, wow, it is so beautiful. I looked back at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said, wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even more beautiful than the moon. We can look at the moon. You know, we can look at the moon for long periods of time. It's something that attracts us. It's something that, in our time, is considered to be romantic. You know, for those brothers who are married, you know, take your wife out on a moonlit night. Just stare in the sky. Something that's considered to be nice. Something that our hearts look towards, so our hearts like. So, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, wallahi, my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beautiful than that. If it is battle tactics, we look at, just look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. If it's bravery, we look at the Sahaba. Wallahi, we have no need to look towards anyone else. Wallahi, we have absolutely no need to look anywhere else besides our own history. My brothers, times have changed so much so that we have to look into towards non-Muslims. We, our youth, are growing up looking at non-Muslims and saying, he is my idol. He is my idol. He is the person I look up to. Whose fault is it? Wallahi, we have to look at it ourselves. If every night before our daughter goes to sleep, we tell her stories of Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel, Snow White, whatever it is, we're telling her stories of this. How would she know who Zainab bint Jahsh is? How would she know who Fatima bint Muhammad is? How would she know who Umm Kulthum is? How would she know who Aisha is? We didn't teach it to her. If every night, every day, we are giving our sons comic books, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, every other man there is, how would they know Ali radiallahu anhu? Who was Ali radiallahu anhu? Who was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Who was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Who was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu? Who is Imam Abu Hanifa? Who is Imam Shafi'i? Who is Imam Ahmad? Who is Imam Malik? No idea. It saddened me so much so, I chose this topic for a reason. Recently, in this area, I was at a grocery store and I met a young boy, maybe the age of 16, 17. And I looked at him and I said, "Salam, how are you doing?" He's like, "Alhamdulillah, Shaykh, I'm good, how is everything?" So we just chilled for a little bit. So I started giving references about Sahaba. And he comes to me, he says to me at the end, he said, "Who is Omar? Who is this Omar you're talking about? Who's Abu Bakr? Who's Usman? I haven't heard these names before." Muslim child. I asked him, "Were you born a Muslim, my brother?" He said, "Yes, I was born a Muslim. Raised in a Muslim family." Subhanallah. I asked him, "Did your parents never teach you who these people are?" He said, "No." I said, "Did your imam ever teach you who these people are?" He said, "Our imam talks, but you know, I'm barely at the masjid because, you know, my parents said I have to study." But isn't it not time for us to bring this change into our lives? If we're not the ones telling our children, if we're not the ones telling our daughters that Cinderella isn't a princess, Fatima is a princess. She's a queen of Jannah. If we tell them this, if we tell our sons, Superman isn't so strong, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is strong. If we teach this to our children today, the effects of this will be seen tomorrow. My brothers, we need to talk to our youth. We need to talk to our younger people. We need to talk to each other. Bring iman into our own lives. We need to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our own lives. How is it that on the day of judgment, when we are standing in front of Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us and he asks that, "Ya abdi, oh my slave, what did you do with your life?" What is the answer that we are going to give him on that day? Why did you look up to so-and-so when I gave you so-and-so? Why did you look up to so-and-so rapper or so-and-so musician or so-and-so athlete when I gave you the likes of Khalid bin Walid, Bukhari, Muslim? I gave you these people. I showed them to you. I brought them into your life. I brought the history of them into your life. Why is it that you chose them instead of them? When we are standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, tells us, he looks at us and he says that you loved so-and-so rapper more than you loved me. Go to him today, don't come to me. Na'udhu billah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all this. But it is time to bring the change into our lives. It's never too late. It's never a time, we can never say it is going to be too late. It's never too late until our ruh, our soul leaves our body, it's never too late. مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Until we start choking when our soul is being pulled out, it's not too late. We can do tawbah today, we can bring it into our own lives today. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. And wallahi, if we bring the change into ourselves, the change will follow. It's a domino effect. It's a domino effect. My teacher said this to us when we were graduating. He said, "My last piece of advice to you as your teacher is this. Yesterday, I was unwise, so I said that I'm going to change the whole world. Today, I am wise because I said I'm going to change myself." If we change ourselves, our homes will change. If our homes change, our communities will change. If our community change, this is a domino effect. It goes on and on and on. You know, we say, "Mata Nasrullah, where is the help of Allah coming? When is the help of Allah coming?" But what have we done to deserve the help of Allah? We say the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were helped in this situation, this situation, this situation. Why aren't we being helped? My brothers, look at the iman of the Sahaba. Look at the iman, look at our iman. The Sahaba gave up their whole lives. They say, "Ya Allah, my life is for you. My life is for you. You do whatever you please with it." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, what is the reason that we have been brought here? مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعَبُدُونَ. We have only created man and jinn for what? One reason, to worship. This is the core purpose of Islam, for of us being alive. We need to understand this. We need to understand, it does not matter how hard I work, I will get the risk, the sustenance that Allah has written for me. It doesn't matter. A person, if his sustenance is written, suppose he is going to get $1 million throughout his whole life. No matter how hard he tries, he will not get one cent less, and no matter how hard he tries, he's not going to get 1 cent more. We need to understand this. We run after the world, and we leave the deen behind. You know, I come from Burlington. So in Burlington, we have a lot of deaths. In our community, we have a lot of deaths. Where, to a point where we're doing janazas once or twice a month. Now, it's come to a state where we have become accustomed to death. Na'udhu billah, we have become accustomed to death. Death isn't something that is out of the ordinary to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أكثروا ذكر هذه من اللذات, that increase the remembrance of that, the destroyer of all pleasures, which is al-maut, death. This is, we hear things and we get accustomed to them. We don't think about them. We don't think that Abu Bakr was the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the greatest man after the Anbiya. We need to follow him. We don't think about the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashabika nujum, my sahaba, my companions are like the stars. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِخْتَدَيْتُمْ اِخْتَدَيْتُمْ, whoever you follow, you will be guided. You just gotta follow one. That's it. All you have to do is you have to follow one, stick to him, go. That's it. You will be guided. You will be guided. This is a promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us was from Allah azza wa jal. It was from Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just dictated it to us. It was from Allah though. My brothers, it is time that we run towards Allah. It's a beautiful hadith where Maulana from a sheikh from Montreal, he was in our masjid yesterday. He said this beautiful hadith. He said that this world is, the hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this world is like a temporary, it's just something very temporary. A person who is good eats from it, person who is bad also eats from it. Meaning a person who is good, he's living. A person who is bad, even he is living. The hereafter isn't like that. The hereafter is something that you have to earn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't give it to us just like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ala sila'atullahi ghaliya," that the price of attaining Allah's pleasure is not something cheap that's given out everywhere. You have to strive to get it. But on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that striving isn't something hard. You extend a hand towards Allah, Allah extends an arm. You walk towards Allah, Allah runs towards us. These are promises of Allah. These are promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All we have to do is make the first step. All we have to do is take the first step, go towards the path of Allah. Step in the path of Allah. Do something, do good today, not tomorrow. Don't do something tomorrow. You know, we keep blaming time. We say times are bad, that's why. We've made this into an excuse. Times are bad, so we have an excuse to do bad. Our kids are bad because time is bad. We are bad because time is bad. We can't pray because time is bad. We can't do this because time is bad. We can't give sadaqah because times are bad. My brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that there is going to be a time that will come that the masajid will be smaller than the houses. We look at it into our lives. We look at it into our lives, daily lives. Wallahi, my brothers, I've been to a place, you are blessed with a beautiful masjid. Wallahi, I've been to a place, this is no exaggeration, I've been to a place where the Muslim population is in the thousands. Their masjid is as big as 1.5 saf over here. That's the full masjid. It's a closet. The masjid is a closet. No concern. No concern to building a masjid. No concern to striving towards getting something. My brothers, we have made deen something secondary. We have made deen something secondary. These are, when we talk about the heroes of Islam, the hearers of Allah. The reason that we talk about them is so that we can follow someone, we can look at him that look, his life was like this, so we can follow his life. You know, we like to relate to someone who is going through the same thing as us. I'm going through some hard time, so I'm gonna be friends with someone who's also going with hard time. It makes the pain easier. It's a hadith that when a punishment becomes aam, it becomes easier. When we were in madrasa, we were studying, we used to say this a lot. That, you know, when one person gets in trouble, it's painful. When the whole madrasa gets in trouble, it's all good. It doesn't hurt as much. It's the same thing over here. We look at it, you know, we look at someone, if he's going through something, I can relate to him. We say we can relate to him. We look, wallahi, when we look at the lives of these sahaba, we look at the lives of tabi'een, the taba tabi'een, those people that have come from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till now, people who are even alive right now, we look into their lives, wallahi, you'll find people that you can relate to. This is my guarantee. You will find someone that you can relate to and you just hold on to. Some sulaha, some salih person or saliha for the sisters, you can hold on to, grab onto them. Listen, grab onto their lives, grab onto their teachings. Go with it. My beloved brothers, dear respected friends, brothers, sisters, youngsters, this is my humble request to bring sunnah into our lives. This is the first step that we can do. This is the first thing that we can do. Bring the sunnah into our lives, the sunnah, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahi, doors will open. I can tell you my own stories, my own events that took place in my life where, wallahi, I'll tell you, this is nothing but a miracle of Allah. But why? Because you follow the sunnah. There is a person whose family, this is a plague in our society, where marriage has to be extravagant. Marriage has to be extremely extravagant. So this brother, he was about to get married. And his family was saying, no, you have to get married. You have to get married like this. You have to get married in a specific manner. Okay? And there was a lot of things that were against Sharia in there. One, first thing, overspending, where there's no need to. There's a lot of haram stuff that will be going on at the marriage, as normal our normal marriages are nowadays, unfortunately. So he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. He said, my nikah is going to be in the masjid. The food that we serve after the nikah will be small, very simple food downstairs in the basement of the masjid. Khalas, done. This is going to be my nikah. And he went through it. His family didn't come to his nikah. His brother didn't come to his nikah. He said, I'm not going to come. You don't want to listen to us? We're not going to come to you. This is something I'm telling you that just recently happened, a few months back. Wallahi, the barakah, the blessing of him saying that I'm just going to follow that, the sunnah of having a very simple marriage, there were hundreds, I'm not exaggerating. I was there in that gathering, hundreds of ulama from all over the world present at his nikah. Ulama that have never, this happened in Canada, ulama that have never come to Canada, they came somehow, they said, wallah, we don't know, but Allah put something inside of our heart, so we came. Hundreds of big ulama, England, Barbados, from South Africa, Madagascar, Mauritius, Pakistan, India, Turkey, Spain, big ulama who were there. Why? Because he followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The blessing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, we know this. He had a very simple marriage. His teacher told him that how can we expect blessing in a marriage when on the day of the marriage we pull out all the blessing? How is it that we can hope for blessing inside a marriage when we pull out all the blessing right on the first day? Music, dancing, intermingling. Haram, everything haram going on. And we're saying, you know, inshallah they'll be together, they'll be happy together. When we take out Allah from our lives, how do we expect to be happy, my brothers? Some small food for thought. I like to leave the talk this one beautiful quote of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. This is something that we need to understand about ourselves, that, you know, it's not time. It's us. Time isn't the problem. It's us. We are the ones that have ruined everything. He said beautifully, he said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَلَعِيبُ فِينَا نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَلَعِيبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. We blame time. نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا. We blame our time. That, you know, so-and-so thing wrong because of time, because of this, because of that. وَلَعِيبُ فِينَا. While the faults are in us, not in time. وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ. That the time has no fault in it, siwana, except us. We say time is the fault of time, is the fault of zamana. In Urdu we say zamane ka masla. We say it's the type, the fault of the time. Imam Shafi beautifully says, it's not the time that has the fault, it's us. And the only fault that the time has is us. My brothers, we need to bring the change into our lives. We need to hold on to the leaders of Islam. We need to hold on to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Follow them. Follow their sunnah. Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the ways of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Follow what they did. Hold on to them. Use them as our role models. Use them as our people who we look up to. On the day of judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us one thing. Almaru ma'a man ahabba. Whoever you love, you are going to be with them. Whoever you love, you're going to be with them. If you love a rapper, you're going to be with him. If you love an athlete, you are going to be with him. If you love your wife, you will be with her. If you love Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you will be standing with them. If you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be standing with them. Standing with him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the ability to practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to bring the sunnah into our lives, to apply the sunnah into our lives, to implement every small sunnah into our lives, to not think of sunnah as just sunnah. My teacher said this beautifully. He said that we leave things because they're sunnah, or it's just sunnah, so we left it. While the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, we used to run towards something because it was sunnah. We leave things because it's sunnah, while the Sahaba used to run towards something because it's sunnah. We need to bring, my brothers, wallahi, sunnah is a manual, it's a guideline. It's a guideline for us, it is a handbook for us. We follow the sunnah, our lives will be straight. Our lives will be built straight. When we don't follow a guidebook when we're building a new closet, what happens? The closet becomes lopsided. Just like that, if we don't follow our guideline, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a sunnah in everything: drinking, eating, sitting, standing, walking, talking. Walking, talking, listening, using the bathroom, going to your wife, doing everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the way. If we don't follow the sunnah, our lives are going to become crooked. If we follow the sunnah, inshaAllah, on the day of judgment, we can hold on to the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as he's walking towards the doors of Jannah, we can walk in with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessing. And on the day of judgment, we drink water of the Hawd al-Kawthar from the blessed hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the sunnah into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the sunnah into our communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make us beacons of light. Make us lighthouses. Make us lighthouses of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us all for his deen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair for having me.
Maybe there's some questions.
Jazakallah khair, Mawlana. On behalf of the community, we really appreciate you for the bayan. And we apologize to the community is small, but at the same time, today is too small. And more especially since the Mawlana, coming from a very big community, came to visit us. But it is fortunate and unfortunate that we had an istima in Worcester. So big of our few members we have always here for the bayan went for that occasion. So that's why we are the way we are. But inshallah, we shall ask Brother Wasim to make a program so that you come back.
Inshallah.
Your words were very touching. Now, normally some brothers here are given a chance to ask one or two questions.
Inshallah.
From whatever the talk was, and then thereafter we shall have dinner with you, inshallah.
Inshallah.
However small it might be. But mine was, if you could just briefly outline the basics of the Sunnah, because some of us, as you said, think that one cannot be done because it is the Sunnah. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it is the Sunnah which might help also maybe on the Day of Judgment to be elevated from wherever we might have been. Mm-hmm. So if you could briefly outline the basics of the Sunnah, because it is something very wide and sometimes confusing, and some brothers mm-hmm. just take it like that. Maybe some other brothers might also have some other question, inshallah. Is that about khair, inshallah?
Sunnah. Inshallah, I'll give the general definition of Sunnah. Sunnah is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, said, or he saw, but he did not stop it. This is the definition that has been agreed upon, not by the muhaddithin, those who study hadith, by the mufassirin, those who study the tafsir of the Quran, and the fuqaha, the jurists of Islam. This is a completely decided upon definition of what Sunnah is. The Sunnah that I was referring to today is the Sunnahs specifically that apply to our lives, our day-to-day lives. For example, waking up. When we wake up, it's just what are the Sunnahs of when we wake up. What is it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he woke up? We know this, we look at the hadith where there's excellent book of on this is by Imam Tirmidhi. It's called Shama'il. Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadi or Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. It's a very it's an excellent book. And I don't know if you guys have it over here, but basically it's a very excellent book. In there he basically talks about the basic aspects of Sunnah. So, for example, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do when he woke up? He would rub his eyes with the palms of his hand 3 times. This is the Sunnah. Wash his hands before he would, obviously in our time we turn on the tap before we start our wudu. But in that time what it was is you had to dip your hands into a pot and to wash your hands. Or you had to, there's a container of water. So he would wash his hands separately outside the pot before you put it in. Sunnah. Another Sunnah, when we're sitting down, I talk about these every Sunday with our Sunday school students. That another Sunnah is when you're putting on shoes. How do you put on shoes? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore shoes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put on the first foot first, the right foot first. Putting clothes on, same thing. Put the right sleeve on first. These are small little Sunnahs, that they're the ones that I'm referring to. Sunnahs of daily life. We look at it, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink water? He drank it in 3 sips and he sat down when he drank it. He sat down and he drank it. We're not talking about if it's halal, if it's haram, we're not getting into that. We're just saying, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's it. How is it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate? He ate with his hands. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat with 3 fingers. He used to eat with 3 fingers, but the fuqaha have written that we can eat with our whole hands and the Sunnah will be fulfilled. The Sunnah will be fulfilled because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we look at the condition that his food was. His food was such that could be picked up with 3 hands. When we have our rice and whatnot, you know, picking up with 3 fingers, you know, inshallah it'll take, unless you're practicing that, it'll take you an hour to just finish a plate. But this is Sunnah. Then we look at how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to sleep. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his right hand on his right cheek and go to sleep like that. These are the Sunnahs that are, and wallahi, every single thing is described in Sunnah. Everything. How to walk, how to talk. When you talk, don't talk like you're big and bad. Okay, when you walk, la tamshi ala al-ardi marha. That don't walk on the earth as if you're, you know, all proud and big. And, you know, for example, I don't know if any of the brothers over here weightlift. When you go to the gym, you see that. You see the opposite of la tamshi ala al-ardi marha. That you see people chest out, stomping on the earth, like moving like this, like that. They don't have to extend their arms out like this, but they're walking like this. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't walk like that. And the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk was his head was slightly down. Just slightly down. Just in case there's a ghair mahram that's out there. That you look at, in our time this applies a lot. You know, I've seen, you know, the some brothers put sunglasses on. They walk with sunglasses, you know, so no one can tell where they're looking. Now, this isn't a Sunnah. Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, he kept his head down and he used to walk. And he used to walk not very fast and not very slow. So when we look at the Sunnah, the ones specifically what I was talking about, every single aspect of life is described. Every single aspect. And these are things that they weren't just taught and that's it, at one ear, out the other. These are things that we bring into our own lives, and inshallah, this will lead to more barakat, more blessings. Allah will open doors for us.
Inshallah. Any other question, brother?
Are all sunnahs equal, or if you do this, you get more, or this you get less?
See, the thing is now, there's certain rewards that have been written down for certain sunnahs. For example, the sunnah of miswak. The reward of miswak is that if you do miswak, it is a sunnah. You get number one, the reward of miswak, and the other virtue of doing miswak is that on the day you pass away, you would pass away with the kalima on your tongue. You'll be saying the kalima. So yes, there are certain sunnahs that have extra virtues that have been added on. Like, you know, perfect way to understand this is, you know how we have phone plans. You know, we have phone plans and we have add-ons to the phone plans. Every phone is going to give you talk, but if you can add on to it more and more. Just like that, every sunnah is going to give you the sunnah reward, but then there's some through a hadith that have been emphasized more, and they have more reward and more extra virtues on that are attached to them. So yes, there is a level that goes up and down, but sunnah is a sunnah. The one thing to remember is sunnah is a sunnah. Sunnah is something that, it's just something that just came to my mind. Something that really saddened me. Where a few days back, one brother came to me and he said, "You stress on sunnah so much, just remember it's only sunnah. You stress on sunnah so much, just remember it's only sunnah." Wallahi, I was so hurt by this. Wallahi, I was so hurt by this. I called my sheikh in Canada. I called him, I told him, you know, this happened, this is disturbing me. I don't know what to do. He said, just by you saying that, I can smell kufr from that person's mouth. When you demean the sunnah, when you think it's just sunnah, very dangerous, extremely dangerous. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, Habibullah, the Beloved of Allah. He has a status. We can't say that is just sunnah, or it's something that is only sunnah. When we demean something, when we demean the sunnah, my brothers, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he writes, a person who demeans the sunnah on purpose, that person has kufr inside of him. There's infidelity inside of him. There's disbelief inside of that person. And he is not a true believer. Imam, the author of Ruhul Ma'ani, the tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, he writes, a person who demeans the sunnah, who belittles the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person is a munafiq. That person has no iman. The person's iman is just on the outward. He has no inner iman. So these are things that we need to be very careful about. And when we do talk about sunnah, when we talk about sunnah, if you don't want to do a certain sunnah, you don't do it. Like, if you don't want to certainly do it, if you, you know, for example, you feel like eating with a spoon today. Okay? You feel like eating with a spoon today. You don't say that, you know, I'm going to eat with a spoon today, because eating with a hand, na'udhu billah, this is something that I've come across. People said, you eat like a barbarian. Someone said this to me in Madinatul Munawwara. Madinatul Munawwara. We're sitting down in front of Masjid Nabawi. I'm eating with my hands. One brother comes and says to me, you eat like a barbarian. You're eating with your hands. Eat this with a spoon. I said, wallahi, look over there. Look over there. Look over there. Who is it? How can I not follow his sunnah when I'm sitting at his doorstep? So these are things that we have to be very careful. So if there's sunnah that you, certainly there's a time that you don't feel like doing, even though that shouldn't be a state where you don't feel like doing a sunnah, but you know, we can get lazy. You know, we get lazy, we don't want to do a certain sunnah. We don't belittle it. We don't belittle it. We say we are weak. We are weak. We don't say that I'm not going to do it because I think it's wrong or it looks bad or something. We don't say that because that can lead to kufr. We just say, you know, I'm weak. I'm weak. That's why I'm not doing it. Inshallah, I hope I have answered your question.
Yeah.
Do we have any other?
Inshallah.
Sisters, we are closing down the bayan for tonight. We don't know whether you had any question.